Welcome to Nelson Dynasty Podcast. So this is week six snap reactions for the quarterback position. And I talked about this earlier in the offseason, or I think it was maybe even last week, where I said, like, hey, let's look at, let's sort of get an idea of where guys are relative to what their historical performance in terms of the points per dropback, right? So passing points per dropback specifically. So I wanted to look at, get an idea of basically how quarterbacks are doing relative to their historical baseline. So some of these guys, it's telling. Some of them, not a ton, right? Lawrence, only 1 year, right? The rookies, only a couple of years, but we like to see progress, right? That's for sure. I'll just say as a general matter, I was surprised that a lot of people are down. So, I do think from a lot of people, like, I'm just looking at, just eyeballing this here. I believe I have 34 people that are in my, I just cut it off to guys who have attempted 50 passes. And so, of those 34 people, it is actually, let's see here, 9 of those 34 are above their historical number. So, again, I think that this is consistent with a lot of what we see, which is that, generally speaking, quarterback play is down, whether that's defenses have figured it out, right? A lot of, one theory that I've heard, and I tend to probably credit this, and I think that this is something that maybe the fantasy community didn't really perceive. I did as a Bills fan. I think Chiefs fans did, right? If you watch those teams, you knew that opposing defenses were able to make your life difficult, not impossible, right? And I think that that's maybe the thing that we look at if we're looking at a per dropback basis. They're taking some of the ceiling off the place, right? We're taking some of the elite outcomes on individual dropbacks and trying to prevent those. It's still really hard to cover an offense that is fully motivated to go out and produce points. It's still really hard to do that. If the goal is something like 10 yards and 4 downs, right? That's still really difficult. But I think something that defenses have become a little bit more attuned to is, preventing sort of taking the deep plays, taking the big plays and sort of limiting them. And that's something that we saw last year with the Bills went through that. Chiefs went through that. Cincinnati, I think to a degree, has gone through this a bit too. Where teams are going to scheme you to sort of eliminate that big play potential. I think that's that. But at the same time, it's still basically those plays aren't turning into failures. What they're doing is they're still successful plays, but turning into less potent ones. Right. So that's what the thing is when you see someone say, hey, listen, success rate is the same, but EPA, on those plays is way down. I think that that's kind of a reaction that, listen, we've been seeing for a while, and I think is, isn't terribly surprising. So I think teams are scheming towards this, and this is probably a reaction of a couple of things, right? This is a reaction of teams understanding less, more that the running doesn't as much matter. So maybe they're not as apt to bite on play action, right? They're not as apt to bite on, runs, right? They're less likely to react to that. They're less likely to scheme to prevent that. And I think that those are some of the things that we're seeing. Defenses are getting better, right? All of these things are a zig while we're zagging. I think, as we sort of zag back, there's going to be value in running backs, right? Like there's going to be value in saying, okay, like you want to play too high. We have play small linebackers. We have a running back and offensive line and offensive scheme that can sort of make your life a living hell, right? There is a zig to all this zag, right? So And that's a lot of why cover three stuff was so effective, right, early on in the in this decade, right, or last decade, I guess, in the 2010s, right? That's why that all that cover three stuff was so in vogue, right, because that's what they're preventing against. So you see a bunch of this sort of back and forth, and I think we're just in another phase of it. So shouldn't be terribly surprising there, you know, that we see basically 9 of 34 guys up and everyone else down. So, and it's some of the names are interesting in terms of guys that are up. So let's start here. We've got Trevor Lawrence is the biggest improver. He is up 78% over last year. Last year he had on his career, I should say, he's up 78% improvement. And if you sort of look at where, if you look at his performance right now, it's at 30. His career performance was at 31 percentile. He comes in now and is up to 0.4 points per drop back, passing points per drop back. Okay, so and again, I look at the specific passing stuff because I think it's a good marker of passing production, right? Running guys are always going to have higher performances. Whereas I think that, you know, when you just look at the pure passing stuff, it gives you a little bit better idea of some of the progress. By way of reference, right, still a 78% improvement over last year. The one thing that gives me a bit of pause is when you look at it versus his expectation, right? So he's at 0.4 point passing points per drop back this year. His expectation is actually 0.48. So a pretty big downtick, right? You're actually 20% off of that. So if you look, he would be very, very high in terms of where he would be at. More than double his career passing yards, points per drop back from last year is what he's expected for this year and hasn't lived up to that. So that's an interesting one there. When you actually take his performance this year and sort of compare it over the course of careers, it would be a 60th percentile type of outcome. So again, that's good. It's above average, but not sort of up where you're hoping for. One for Geno Smith, I think is interesting. He is at well above his career baseline. So his career baseline is 0.28. Again, that's still well above Lawrence's historically. That's about a 40th percentile type performance. He is up this year at 0.45 points per drop back. That's a top 30% outcome. When you look, that's a 60% improvement over his career number. So really, really changing who he is this year is, I think, one of the big things that we see from, you know, from Geno, right? It's a vast, vast difference. So that is, it's encouraging, right? I think we tend to think we're probably going to go back to where he's at historically. I don't think we're going to sort of be performing at the same great high efficiency. But I will say, in terms of his actual expectation, it's not performing that much higher above it. Is it 0.42, which, again, so he's only basically, he's at 0.45, so performing just above his expectation. So that's good, but it's not anything that's terribly, you know, terribly unsustainable would be what I would say, assuming your production and assuming your usage type remains the same. Tua's up there as well. He is 0.37 historically is his historical passing points per drop back. He's up to 0.58. So that's, he's about 55% over. Allen's 29% over, up from 0.41 up to 0.53. Again, that's like an 85th percentile outcome plus the rushing stuff on top of that. That's a very dangerous type of outcome. Zach Wilson, 26% better. Again, that's 0.29 points per drop back. That's actually not much better than Justin Fields, for example. Those are bottom 30% numbers. So you sort of have to, you know, bear that in mind. Teddy Bridgewater is at 0.44 points per drop back. His career number is 0.37. That's about a 65th percentile type number. So that is down a bit there. or up a bit there for him historically. And then you look the couple other guys that are actually above their number are Goff. He's 10% above his, 5% above his for Jalen Hurts there. When you look at his overall number, Jalen Hurts is like a 96 percentile career guy and overall points per drop back. And again, he's up over that this year. Interestingly, Lamar is actually below his. His career number in terms of total points per drop back, so this includes rushing points, is at 0.48. 0.80. So basically, every time he drops back to pass, it's worth 0.8 of a fantasy point. This year, it's 0.74. So it's down a little bit. But Jalen Hurts is actually up from 0.63 to 0.67. So both performing at a really high level this year. You look at some other guys here. Russell Wilson is amongst the worst performers on his historically, his number has been extremely high. It's at 0.53 is his career points per dropback. That's a 94th percentile type of outcome. He's expected for 0.41, so already more than a tenth of a point off of his career number just by expectation. But he is performing much below that as well, at 0.3 points per dropback. Again, when you sort of contextualize that, it's a 38th percentile outcome, and you say, all right, that's not great. That's actually Zach Wilson. That's Fields territory. Lawrence is a little bit better than that. You start looking as well, right? That's sort of the range that you're thinking of in there, that 0.32. Flacco, that's the same as Flacco. Davis Mills, sort of in that range as well. So again, it's not a good outcome. Jameis Winston's in that range as well. Jameis Winston, pretty large fall off as well for him. But you just, like, it's such a decline for Wilson. You just have to make a bet though, right? I mean, all right, is he 40%, right? Has he dropped off to a point where he's going to be 40% worse than he's been? I mean, that's not a bet that I would make, right? I would tend to bet that stuff comes back a little bit more towards where it is. Again, I think this is a boss and a new employee can't figure out the light bulbs in the new office, or in the light switches in the new office, right? That's what I think that this is. So I am not super worried about him long term. Is it going to be great this year? Maybe not. Maybe it won't be, but I am not concerned about this long term. I think there's a buying window open here, especially if you can do it in a package that doesn't require elite players and something that doesn't require first. I think that's a smashing success. So just for what that's worth, Aaron Rodgers down 32% as well. Again, he's a top 5 percentile historical guy. So he's way down. By the way, Russ is actually a 0.63 career points per dropback. It's a 95th percentile. So that's the one that actually includes the rushing points. And this year he's down basically 0.39. So almost a quarter point less per dropback. Total points per dropback for Russ. Just a huge cratering there from a guy that's a 95th percentile type of guy. So that's a big deal. And I think we're seeing that, right? I mean, that's some of the concern. Which one do you want to bet on? What do you bet long term? Would sort of be my question. Brady's down 30%, Kyler's down 30%, Stafford down 29%, Matt Ryan down 27%, Cousins down 25%, Herbert down 20%, Mahomes down 16%, Burrow down 14%. Let's see some other ones here. Wentz down 13%, points per drop back. Let's see here. Mariota's actually down 10%. He was a surprisingly high one. He was a 76% career passing points per drop back, 85th career total points per drop back. So he was the one that actually surprised me when I was looking through some of this analysis. Guys that are sort of right on pace with their historical numbers, Lamar Jackson, Tannehill, Dalton, sort of right there in that range as well. So they're sort of right at their expectations. So again, Tannehill, people write off Tannehill. he's performing right to his career number in terms of fantasy points per dropback, and that's a metric that we could use. So I did want to sort of put some of these guys in context. It's a big step forward for Allen, a little bit of a step back for Mahomes, and as specifically as a passer, Allen overall is he's actually at 0.67 career 0.67 points per drop back. Total points per drop back. His career number is 0.6. Again, that's 93 percentile. So he's just outrageous this year in terms of how good he's been on a per drop back basis in total points. And really good and as just a pure passer too, up in the top 15 percentile of the position. So, and they throw it a lot. Right, so those things can add up. Some really good opportunities there overall. I would say, like, hey, there's some question and concern about Fields and Wilson, right, in the bottom 30 percentile, right? That's stuff that I think we have to be concerned about with them as future guys. And again, Jones is in the same range too. Jones in that bottom 33 percentile type of performance there. So I think you can sort of see where the, you know, how the floors work, how the ceilings work, and how guys are performing against expectation. It gives you a pretty good idea of where these guys are at historically. All right, let's look here at some guys that are actually over and under the fantasy points per game from just, you know, just your regular fantasy points per game over expectation. Josh Allen leads in over expectation. He's 4.7 points over expectation. So he's darn good. And when you look, 4.7 points per game, I think I might have said 4.7 points. But yeah, he's at quarterback one on the season. Lamar's 3.8 over, and he is at two. So that's his rank there. Tua is at 2.5 points over expectation. He's at quarterback 12 in points per game. Let's see some other ones here. Geno is over 1.7 points per game. Again, this isn't outrageous. He's over basically 70 yards and a tenth of a touchdown. He's rushed for about 30 yards more than you would expect. There's nothing in here to suggest that he is a massive drop-off candidate, right? There's nothing here to suggest that he is, you know, just sort of living good, right? This isn't a Burrow in 2021 type resume. Is Burrow better, right? Like, let's put that in proper context before we start going off the rails in terms of saying statements out of context that people might be think I'm crazy. Burrow's a better quarterback, but when you look at Burrow's resume last year in particular, what you saw was living off good touchdowns. I think he's a better quarterback than Geno Smith. I don't think that's particularly controversial. What I do think is that Geno Smith's production, fantasy production, is more sustainable in the way it is being scored than Burrow's was last year. Okay, so that would sort of be the way that I would think about that is this sustainable? Well, it is. Like, this isn't just him living good. Like, he's living as a better player. So that would be one of the things that I would say. Again, and not even a high touchdown rate either. He's at 4.8. His touchdown rate expectation is 4.7. That's right in line with league average. His expected touchdown rate is 21st. Right, that is right in line with, right, that's firmly in the middle of the position. His expected points per game is 22, and he's at 8 in terms of actual points per game. That's all yardage. Right, that's actually him being good on a yardage basis, him being efficient as a thrower more than it is being lucky. So good on Geno, right? I think he's really changed his ways and changed his perception there. Some other ones here, let's see. Other guys that are above expectation, 1.6 points above expectation for Mahomes, 0.9 for Hurts. Again, no one super out of the ordinary there. Let's look on the other side here in terms of guys that are performing well below expectations. See if we can't sort anything out. Matthew Stafford's actually above in yardage. And when you sort of think about that, you're like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, I thought he wasn't doing well. Well, what's the number, right? What's really the concern for him? What has been the problem? The problem has been the touchdowns. The problem has been the touchdowns. As expected for 12.2, he's got 6. I mean, if that's going to be where you live, right, you're going to have a really hard time. By the way, when you just take his expected touchdowns, it ranks seventh. So again, don't get crazy here. And again, that's not that different from, it's actually 1 point. It's a 1.5 touchdowns lower in expectation than Josh Allen is at quarterback two. Right. I just think that things aren't going smoothly. I don't think there's necessarily a huge problem. Right. I don't think there's necessarily, we haven't gotten to a spot where he's totally fallen off. Right. This isn't a spot where this team, you know, all of a sudden has decided that they're going to, you know, take every play down to, you know, 30, you know, take 39 seconds off of every play clock, and they're going to run on, you know, second and 13 at a league high rate. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't that type of situation. He just doesn't have things necessarily breaking his way. I think this is a clear, they can get right after a bye type of deal, right? Hey, let's let everyone clear their head. Let's sort of get right. Like, you go away, go take a week off. We'll see you next week. And let's get this shit right. This clearly to me points in that direction. So I am, I'm optimistic about Stafford. I think he has a lot of room to go up. That's just some smoothing out of his dispersal of his numbers, if you will, there. Some other guys here. Fields is 4 points under expectation. Mac Jones is 4 points under expectation. 3.5 for Pickett and Murray. 3 points under expectation for Wilson. That's just better than Brady, who is 2.7 for Lawrence there. If you look, Lawrence is under by like 60 yards. Brady's under by 80 yards. Russell Wilson's actually over expectation in terms of yardage. So, yeah. Like, again, you sort of, when you look at some of his stuff, like, his is touchdown related as well. I go back, I went back and I was a total, and this should surprise nobody, I was a total geek when I was in college. And I played a ton of fantasy baseball. And it's funny because I spent so much time preparing to play in just one league that had I understood some of the finances behind fantasy sports, like, I probably could have made a boatload of money just sitting in my dorm room, because like, I was doing all this work for one league that, you know, if I won it, I maybe won like $800. Like, the return on investment was laughably low. But one of the things that I did was I just looked at a ton of regression stuff, and I was like, we're just low hanging fruit is to bet on things to regress. Right. And I don't need to be, you know, don't pay at the top of the market for, you know, stats that are going to regress, and buy at the bottom of the market for stats that are going to improve, right? Like, just in terms of natural variance, right? Just doing those things alone, you'll be fine. You're or ahead, right? That's not necessarily an entirely comprehensive winning formula, but it's a really excellent start. I'll never forget, I listened to a podcast. This was actually before podcasts were sort of a thing. This had to have been 07, must have been the spring of 08. Now that I'm thinking about this, I was a junior. And Mike Mussina, I'll get you the numbers here. Mike Mussina was just coming off one of his worst years of his career. He had, it was actually his second, I didn't realize this until I just looked this back up. This is awesome. He had a really poor year in 2007. 152 innings. He had an ERA of 5.15. His strikeout rate, or his WHIP, was like 1.4, almost 1.5. His strikeout rate was actually down a little bit at 5.4. Strikeout to walk rate had fallen off a bit. Home run rate was actually down, which was interesting. That was an interesting one. His hit rate was, I believe, the highest of his career by a pretty wide margin. And I remember, like, it was an all off season commentary about how he had fallen off a cliff and you can't trust him and all this stuff. And I had built this. I just basically did a luck independent analysis of his 2017 or his 2007, his prior year performance, his huge ERA. It was like the worst season of his career by far. And I said, like, why did this happen? And a couple of things happened, right? The batting average on balls in play was way higher than it had been at any point in his career. And that's a number that just shrinks back to, at the time, it was like 300, was it? I don't play enough baseball now to know. His was way higher. Just seeing if they have it. I don't think they actually have it. Batting average on balls in play. Yeah. So batting average on balls in play in 2007 for him was .344, which again was the highest of his career. It's so funny. I did all this sort of in an Excel sheet. Now Baseball Reference has all this stuff. So it's funny how much this has all changed. And the data that I just didn't have access to was just voluminous, right? Like all the stuff like I had to sort of generate and didn't have information on balls in play and that sort of thing. But how they were batted and the like. But when you looked at it, right, like that's a number that historically is around 300. It's 297 was the historical average for it, during the time he was in the league. 295 was his historical average, right? So right at league average, which is a stat that's how it's basically done. And, balls in play, .34, right? So a huge performance over that. The other thing too, I don't think I have the actual data here. Let's see here. The strand rate was really low. And one of the things, too, that he gave up a ton of when he was pulled from the game, his relievers gave up a ton of his of runs, basically on the runners that he left on base. Okay, so you just looked at three things and you said, okay, like there's a lot of like stuff that isn't necessarily his fault that went really poorly for him. And I use this sort of digression to talk about this because I think it's a good, right? I think that this is one of the reasons why I really believe this stuff about thinking about regression, thinking about when you get the opportunity to buy. Just think a couple of years ago how sort of hot Russell Wilson was running. Right? He was throwing touchdowns at like a 12% clip and everyone thought he was the quarterback one in Dynasty. Right now he's on the exact opposite end of that. Right, Dynasty as a strategy should be when he's at the ceiling, you sell him. When he's at the bottom, you buy him. Right, that's if we could just and maybe I just came up with a chapter of 2023's AOD. But if you look at his career numbers, right, when you go back to Russell Wilson's number in the 2020 season, right, there was a point where it was about 12%. I just broke the season up into two 8-game increments. First half of the season, he threw 20. He threw 28 touchdowns in 8 games. It's 3.5 a game. If you were to sort of take that out to 17 games, that's 60 touchdowns. That'd be the highest in the history of the NFL, right? Clear uptick, clear increase in terms of touchdown rate, up to 9.5%. Historically, he hasn't been that good, right? He's been about 6, right? High fives, right around 6, which is, again, that's a really good number, but way outside of multiple standard deviations outside of that performance. The second half of the season, what does he do? Well, comes totally back to earth. Actually, his passing attempts dropped a whole bunch too. His passing attempts to start the season, 37.5. Final 8 games of that season, 32.6. So there's about a 4.5 attempt drop. He throws 12 touchdowns in those last 8 games. That is a 26 touchdown pace. That is good for right at 4.6%, which, coincidentally enough, is your league average. Okay, so then when you come forward now and you look at where his numbers are, and you just take where he's at over the past, basically the past, we'll just use it this game, right? We could go back last year, we could sort of tinker with these numbers a little bit, and sort of tweak it a little bit. He's well below all of those numbers, right? That second half of that season, he's on pace for 14 touchdowns in a 17 game season. That's not good, right? He's on pace for 33 attempts per game, right? He's on pace for 561 attempts. He's actually on pace for over 4,000 yards. So, again, like, things could probably break his way in a way that improves for him, but maybe we're sort of dumping on him a little bit too much. When you just go back and you look, you know, even last year, right? Like, just go back and look at this last year and just think about the beginning of last year where he was on pace, 34 touchdowns through the first five games. He got hurt in that. Let's just take the first four games because I think he got hurt in that fifth game that year. Again, he's on pace for 38 touchdowns. He's on pace for 4,500 yards. Just a ton of fluctuation. He hurts his thumb in that LA game. That's week, I think, five of last year. And then you sort of come back second half of the year when he comes back. He's on pace for 28 touchdowns and, not the passing yards that you want. It's at 3,600 passing yards, right? So we see these things happen through the course of careers. I think with Russell Wilson, like, he's a great example of at any given moment, if you would just sort of put him on a graph, right, put a wide range of almost like a, you're putting it between kind of like at a 100 percentile of like performance or 100 percentile of his value versus a 0 percentile of his value, and just sort of watch how it goes up and down. He's at the low bottom, right? But what is that always sort of followed with? A high uptick, right? He's like just well below his career pace. And I think that these numbers, his story, what we know about regression, what we know and have the real benefit of expectation, right? The real benefit of understanding expected points, expected touchdowns and the like. The PFF data is super helpful in that. Again, he's produced half the touchdowns that he's expected for. One thing that I would say, like, if you had put him at 17.9 points per game, which would be his expected points, again, he's still not all the way up there. That's quarterback 19 in points per game. He's at 22 right now. But again, if you sort of added, if you took the fact that he's over on yardage because he's a good quarterback and added in the touchdowns in there, right, what is that, five? That's about five or six touchdowns here. So if you add basically 6 points in a game, right, that's it. We're thinking about him hugely different, right? He's then up in the 20s, and that's much more Russell Wilson type of range. He would be right in the right behind Joe Burrow, for example, if you had given him just his touchdown number, and that would be at quarterback six. So I think that and right with Goff, right, because Goff has had his bye. So right there in like top six, top seven, top eight, sort of right in that range. What do we know that regresses? Touchdown rate. Like, bet on that to regress. Right? Bet on it with Stafford. Bet on it with Russell Wilson. Those are the big takeaways. Like, I want to, like, these are durable profiles. These are the profiles that you should go down swinging on. Right, you should absolutely go down swinging, because you want to know what? If you're wrong, you take that bet and you consistently make that bet. Right, that is a bet you constantly take. And honestly, like, if you're wrong, it would be a major upset historically to be wrong on Russell Wilson, to be wrong on Matthew Stafford. It would be wrong with what we know about the history of the NFL, and it would be wrong with what we know about the history of just numbers randomly playing out. Right? Like, you have a lot of stuff that's on your side with both of these guys to bounce back from. This would be the things that I would say. All right, enough harping from me on that. I think you guys probably get it. You're all pretty attuned to this. I think on a flip side of this, like, what's the flip side of, like, hey, where's the person not looking so great? It's Aaron Rodgers. His expectation in touchdowns is 9.6, and he's at 9. It's actually 9.7, and he's at 9. So a little bit under expectation, but he's a good chunk in terms of yardage under expectation. He's expected for 1487. He's got 1403. So that's a hefty portion under expectation. That's not the split that you want to see. So that gives me a little bit of pause with him going forward. Do I think he's fallen off a cliff? No. Does he have the same regression case in terms of, like, hey, this is kind of a simple fix? I don't think so. When I say simple fix, like, hey, this is just kind of like, let the numbers play out and things will be just better. I don't think that's the case for Rodgers. And I think that the reason it probably isn't the case for Rodgers is because you don't have that same, you know, game wrecking type of ability from your wide receiver one, right? I think that that's a real concern there. So, yeah, so that's a difference for him that I don't necessarily love in terms of his production. Same, Brady's basically down all the way across the board. So he is at 12th in terms of expected points. He's at 17 in points per game. When you look at it, he's about 80 yards and four touchdowns under expectation. So again, there needs to be a lot of bounce back for him to come all the way back. Whereas I think when you look at Russell Wilson and you look at Matthew Stafford, you say, all right, they're performing sort of on the basis of yards, right? Russell Wilson should be better. I think if Russell Wilson was better, he would have more expected yards because he would be on the field more, right? Like that, like his expectation would go up because he was better. But in terms of what he's been, the hand that he's dealt himself, it's still not that far off. Again, like you look at the him between him and like the league leader, it's only a couple hundred yards difference, right? Like Brady's up at, oh, I take that back. Herbert is, I think it is like quarterback two, it appears, in terms of expected yards. He's 200 yards behind. Russ is about 200 yards in expectation behind him. And then you look like he's about 300 behind Brady. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think if this situation got better, both of those numbers would go up, right? So that's sort of the thing that I would think about, because quarterbacks performing better, stay on the field for longer, drive more, get more opportunities to throw and all that stuff. So I am bullish on these guys, right? I'm bullish on them. I'm going to do some quarterback trade data for the quarterback trade show this week and probably not even do just 10. I'm just going to sort of do it as a theme based off of kind of this show, just kind of dump trades at you. So I'm not going to do that necessarily right now. It's going to be the trade show for this week, but you'll be able to check that out when I do it. So so big takeaways, like I'm a little bit more tepid on guys like Brady and Rodgers for big bounce backs. I think Stafford and Russ in particular come back. And honestly, that's pretty good given, like, again, there's some resilience in the Supermax stuff, right? Like there's some longevity in the Superflex stuff, right? Like there's, or in the Supermax stuff, right? Like there's some real thought built into the numbers that are associated with market value and the like, and sort of what they signal. And there's a durability there for a guy like Stafford, like Russell Wilson, that historically we don't have the same, you know, the same confidence in happens with a guy like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, who's further down the position in ADP, right? Those guys perform, their arcs are much different. So we'll see how that goes. But again, just think about this. Russell Wilson, quarterback 17 at keep trade cut. Stafford is at 22. Jared Goff's ahead of Stafford. Just try that on for size for a second. Mac Jones is tied with Russell Wilson. Justin Fields, this is incredible. You want to see incredible stats? Justin Fields is equal to Russell Wilson. Justin Fields has played to a level he doesn't deserve to start next year. And the dynasty marketplace is treating him like he's higher than Russell Wilson. Again, sometimes this game isn't that hard. So just some thoughts there. Other guys, Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson, right? Like Kenny Pickett's quarterback 13. That's clinically mad. So Trey Lance, quarterback 12. Again, I can't believe that those trades actually exist, but I'd love to see them actually implemented. So that'll pretty much do it for this thing. We'll have some more quarterback value stuff here. I want to sort of get in the business of making trades like that. This is a good opportunity to sort of add, if you can do it, if you can fix the quarterback position. I put myself in a couple of spots where I didn't have quarterback depth. Coming into this season, in a startup in particular, where Brady was my quarterback too, I just didn't have a good solution because the market went away from me. If now I can sort of buy back into that and add a Stafford, add a Wilson at a discount, I hit him with a 1-2. And the opponents are really hurting. So that's the stuff that I'm focusing on. Again, I hope this helps you with some of your quarterback stuff. That'll do it for this edition. So that'll do it for this edition. Again, look out for some trade stuff on Thursday. All your running backs, wide receivers, and tight end stuff already out for the week. So quarterback's usually the last one I do. I usually do it on Tuesday afternoon, into the evening, which I'm doing right about now. So that'll do it for this edition. All right, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.